you know, that doesn't seem like it'd be a lot of good use. I mean, isn't that why the Lord died? So that we wouldn't have to die in for our sins physically? Well, yes, but this whole concept of sacrifice is not just something that is done away with, but something that is dedicated to the Lord, something that is no longer belonging to you, something that is given up to God and says, Lord, this isn't mine anymore. It was mine to begin with, but I am now putting this completely in your hands, and it's completely yours. You do what you want with it from now on. And I want us to think about, as we think about this idea of what is a sacrifice, one definition puts it this way. It's an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more valued or worthy. And isn't it the truth? As we think about this idea of giving a sacrifice, is you are giving something up, but what you're gaining in return is something of more value, of more worth. When the Israelites in the Old Testament were giving up that best part of their flock, they were giving that up because God is worthy of that sacrifice. God's the one who gave them all of their flock, and they get to keep, you know, a lot of that, and you use that for food or for clothing or whatever else. But I want to invite you this morning, as we go through the lesson, to kind of keep this image in mind. As you think about the process that you would have had to go through in order to make a sacrifice to the Lord. A lot of times we kind of just glaze over that because we're not used to doing that physical act. But think about this for a minute. You go out, and here is, you know, your flock. And they're out, you know, in your pasture or whatever land is yours. And here is, you know, the sheep or the oxen or whatever that are your own. And now you have to go and pick out what you want to give to the Lord. And what did the Lord demand in the Old Testament? What did he say you had to do? You couldn't just give the first, you know, animal you came across. But the Lord says, I want the very best. I want you to give of the firstborn, you know, a year old without blemish. And you weren't just giving up, you know, that year old. It's like anything that prize animal would have become. You're giving up, you know, any good food that animal may have provided, any clothing or other animals that it may have produced later on. It's like you were sacrificing all of that to the Lord. And if people back then are anything like people now, I can't help but think that at some point there's kind of a mental battle that goes on as you go out into your flock. And you're looking at the different animals and, you know, I know the Lord wants the best one. But, I mean, that's a really good animal. And this one over here, it's not bad. You know, it's not lame or anything, but it's not like, I mean, wouldn't this one do? I could really stand to part with that one over this one over here. But what about this one over here? And as you're looking through your flock, that there's kind of this battle going on in your mind of, well, there's some other good animals here that I could just as easily give to God. And that's still kind of hard for me to part with that. Isn't that good enough? Wouldn't that be pleasing to the Lord too? And there's kind of this temptation to lower the standards. There's kind of this temptation to, you know, well, I want to give God something good. I think a lot about the Lord, but man, you know, I could really use that over here or over there. And we're tempted so many times in so many ways to compromise with the world and to give some good things to the Lord. But really, when it gets down to our hearts and it gets down to the things that are hardest for us to give up, we're still keeping those things for ourselves. And we're still saying, Lord, I'll give you this one and I'll give you that one and I'll give you the other one, because really, they're not the ones that I'm most interested in. But those things that are really close to me, those things I really have a hard time giving up, I'm going to keep that one. And that's a challenge for each of us. And it's different, I think, for each of us. The Lord's word, you know, pierces to our hearts in different ways. We struggle with different things. But we each have to go out into our flock, so to speak, and say, okay, what is it that the Lord wants me to give to him? And some of those things might be easy to give, and some of those things are inevitably going to be really hard for us to give. I want us to think about the words of David. In 2 Samuel 24, in verse 24, the story here is that there's a plague that has come upon the people because David has taken a census, and the Lord told him, don't number your people. You know, that's not what you need to be worried about. You trust in the Lord. Don't worry about how many warriors you have or how big your nation is. That's not what's going to save you. And yet David still took the census of the people. And so the Lord had given him that choice of what punishment that he would receive. And he says, listen, let me fall into the Lord's hands, not into man's hands. And so he asked for the plague to be given to him. And this plague has been just ravaging the camp of Israel because of David. And so David is looking to offer this sacrifice to stop the plague. And when he goes to offer the sacrifice, he approaches a man named Araunah. At least in this account, it's different in Chronicles. But here, look at what he says. Yeah, but we'll begin reading in 2 Samuel 24, verse 21. And Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people. And Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and the threshing sledges, and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. And all this, O king, Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. But the king said to Araunah, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. David teaches us really, I think, what is at the very heart of the concept of sacrifice. And that is that a sacrifice must be costly. A sacrifice that costs us nothing is not a sacrifice in the first place. If we just do the thing that's easy, that's not really giving to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we need to somehow, you know, pain ourselves in every aspect of our Christian life, that we need to somehow become, you know, ascetics and, you know, just like punish our bodies to make it hard. That's not the point. It's going to be hard. But the point being that when we're faced with those decisions where there is the easy way, and then there is the way that the Lord wants us to walk, that's going to cost us a lot. Let me say, you know what? It's worth it. And I need to, at whatever cost to me, do exactly what the Lord has given me to do. And David said, look, I'm not even going to bring something to the Lord my God unless it is something of value and something that cost me to give that to the Lord. It would have been so easy for David to say, oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that around home. I'll offer that to the Lord. But David teaches us about this concept of sacrifice, and it's so important for us to really look at our lives and think about how we apply this, and we'll talk about that as we go through the lesson this morning. So we want to ask, what is it that the Lord has asked us to offer there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2? To offer up my body as a sacrifice to the Lord. Why would the Lord ask for my body? I mean, he could have asked for a lot of different things. But let's think about that for just a second. As we think about that, really, our bodies are one of the few things that are actually under our control. There are a lot of things in our life that we can't control. Our circumstances, the families that we've been born into, situations, maybe at work or at school or whatever, that are outside of our control. We can't change those things or necessarily change other people against their will to be pleasing to God. But we always have a choice when it comes to what we do with our bodies. As we think about one of the first great sins that was committed in Cain's murder of Abel, We think about what the Lord said to him as he was kind of struggling with that. That didn't just happen overnight. Cain saw that the Lord was accepting Abel's offering and not accepting his own offering. Apparently, Cain wanted to be pleasing to God in some sense. He wanted God to accept his sacrifice, but then was willing to go and instead of doing what the Lord said, was just going to take out what he perceived the problem to be. And Cain has a choice before him. In Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, the Lord says, "But for Cain and his offering he had no regard, so Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" So Cain is given the real picture here, is that he has his own body. He can do what he wants to do with that body. The Lord's not going to make him obey. He's not going to force him into obedience. But here's sin is crouching at the door, and Cain is really contemplating, you know, what do I do? Am I going to have mercy on my brother? Am I going to kill him? Because he's really angry. His emotions are all stirred up, but he's still in control of his body. His anger is not master over him. His desires are not master over him. And many times Satan tells us those lies, that whenever, you know, we have great emotion or great desire, oh, I just can't help it. No, yes, you can. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. We need that truth drilled into us. Satan wants to make us think, well, we can't help it. There's no other choice, but no. Our body is in our control, and we've got to offer that to God. As we think about the idea of offering our bodies, this is not a foreign concept to us. Really, if you look at every person that lives, everybody is offering their body or their life to something or someone. Everybody's going to worship something. As we think about the choice, you know, that's presented here to Cain, and the choice that's presented, that Joshua presents to the people of Israel as he's kind of ending his time as their leader at the end of the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, famous statement, but we think about the choice that he offers the people here. In Joshua 24, in verses 14 and 15, Joshua says this. Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served before the river, beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve Jehovah. The choice that Joshua offers the people is you can serve the one true God, or you have your choice of all these other gods. You know, there's these gods in Babylon, or there's these gods in Egypt, there's the gods of the Amorites. You pick. But the thing is, at the end of the day, you pick your God. You pick who you're going to offer your body to. You pick who you're going to serve with your life and with your time and with your emotion and with your words and all of those things. We're all serving somebody. We all want to think, nobody's my master. You know, I'm in control of this or that. But with our actions, with our words, with the way that we spend our time and where we choose to be, we reveal who our God is. And there are a lot of people, even within the children of Israel, who gave a lot of lip service to the God of Israel, who gave a lot of lip service to Jehovah. We've got the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. We're sacrificing physically these animals all the time. But in their hearts, they had turned back to Egypt. In their hearts, they were still, you know, giving into these desires and impressing one another, and they weren't serving the Lord. They were giving their bodies to foreign women. You know, it's like they weren't following through with those sacrifices to the Lord. They weren't really sacrificing their bodies to God. They were sacrificing their bodies to somebody else. So Joshua says, listen, you choose this day whom you're going to serve, because we're all going to sacrifice to something. And really, the question here, again, is not whether or not we're going to worship. It's not whether or not we're going to sacrifice. But the question is, are we going to conform, or are we going to be transformed from what the world around us was doing? Sacrifice was not an uncommon thing, even in the religious world, you know. Even in the time of the Israelites, you know, you had Moloch or Dagon or all those gods. What's one thing that pretty much all even the pagan gods had in common was they wanted a sacrifice. And now usually the people would kind of figure out what they wanted to do and say, oh, we'll offer that kind of as worship to this god or that god. And that's when you've got, you know, all the temple prostitution and the New Testament and all of that. And so the point being, in Romans 12 and verse 2, after it tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, the very next thing it tells us to do is don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And really the question for us is, again, not whether we're going to sacrifice, but are we going to sacrifice in the way that the Lord desires, the way that the Lord has shown us to live? Because there's other people who make great sacrifices, who do good and selfless things. Sometimes they do it for their work. Sometimes they do it for their family. Sometimes they do it for, you know, some loved one or whatever. Those things aren't necessarily bad enough themselves. But it's a question of priorities. At what point are we going to sacrifice the things that belong to God in order for something else that we deem as more valuable or more worthy? And that's kind of an interesting picture, isn't it? Is the idea that there are certain things that while they are good things and helpful things maybe, but that when we are giving everything to the Lord and those two things come in conflict with each other, one of them's going on the altar, and one of them's going in the place of God in our life. And sometimes we put the thing as God in our life that should be on the altar, and sometimes we put the thing on the altar that should be given to the Lord, and that should be the thing that we are serving the Lord in our life. We get it backwards. And it's really when we have those conflicts. It's when the rubber meets the road, when we have those difficult times where we're like, okay, here's a test. And really, I think whatever it is, the Lord will allow us to be tested. The Lord will ask us at some point in our life to say, okay, what's it going to be? You think about the great men and women of faith in the Scriptures, and pretty much all of them, and I think this would be an interesting study to do sometime, is just look at what point in their life they're confronted with the choice. You think about Abraham. What is that moment for him? He had a couple of those moments, a couple of big ones at least. Leave your family and your land and everything you've known and go, oh, I don't know, somewhere I'm going to show you. Take your son, your only begotten son, whom you love, and offer him up as a sacrifice. That doesn't make any sense, God. That doesn't make any sense. Offer a human sacrifice? I want you to offer your son. And he says, okay, that's what the Lord wants. It's going on the altar. And if Abraham had decided differently, he would have put his son up and then put the Lord, so to speak, on the altar and said, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my relationship with God to keep my son. So we all have that choice at some point. So I want us to think about some places in which the rubber meets the road here. How can I offer my body to the Lord? In what ways can I become a living sacrifice? And we could spend probably, you know, the rest of this month and sermons on this. But I just want to think about a few specifics this morning. And, of course, you can add your own to this list. But one of the the ways in which we can visibly show that we are offering ourselves to the Lord is in how we speak and offering our tongue to God. As we think about what we've already thought about this morning in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, where it's really, I think it's really significant that, you know, the Hebrew writer was somebody really familiar with sacrifices, with the whole Old Testament system, and he spent a lot of the book going through, you know, these examples of how Christ is a better sacrifice, is a better offering. And then he comes and says to the Christians he's writing to, here are your sacrifices. And in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, he says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. What we do with our lips says a lot about who our God is, and a lot about who we're really serving. And it is, of course, easy to deceive with our lips, to say one thing and do another thing. But really, what we talk about shows what's in our hearts. It shows what we're really interested in. You don't have to be around someone for very long to know kind of who or what they worship. That comes out kind of naturally. When we choose our God, when we choose the thing that we're really devoted to and that we're offering, so to speak, our body, our life to that thing or that person, we're going to talk about that. That's what's on our minds. That's what's on our hearts. That's the thing we're excited about. That's the thing we're really invested in. It's what we're passionate about. And here it says, it needs to be acknowledging God's name. That's the fruit of lips. You know, I think it's an interesting picture. This is, you know, the fruit of lips. We've talked already this year about the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is like, you know, that idea. It's what you produce. It's what you plant the seed and then you let it grow. And then what comes out is, you know, what you've put in the ground. And the same thing. Jesus would say the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You can't have a good tree with bad fruit. You can't have a bad tree with good fruit. We need to really make sure that what we're speaking about, the way that we are speaking to one another and the things about which we are speaking, are the things that the Lord approves of. Things that the Lord says, yeah, that's a sacrifice of praise. That is a pleasing sacrifice. I think by the same token there in the next verse, in verse 16, as we've mentioned already, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. There are certainly ways with our words and with our actions that we can be building one another up with the way that we speak. Certainly avoiding profanity, avoiding gossip, backbiting, and slander. And just avoiding pessimistic talk. Avoiding just falling right in with the rest of the world with just complaining about the next new thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. There's always something to complain about. But that we become transformed by the renewing of our mind and the renewing of our tongue too, so that we can offer those sacrifices that are pleasing to God. We think about the way that we use our time in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And I want to tell you, this is really, when you think about it, this is one of the more, especially in our culture, our society, this is one of the more costly sacrifices that we can give to the Lord, isn't it? In our eyes, in society's eyes, is time is so precious, and we're so busy that in order for us to give more time to the Lord, or really to give more time to anything, we're going to have to sacrifice something else because we're always going, we're always doing that, we're always filling our schedules with everything. And so in order to do what we know we need to be doing more of, we can't just like put that in the schedule somewhere. It's full a lot of the time. What do you have to do? You got to get out the axe and you've got to cut something out of that schedule. You've got to make time to serve the Lord, to grow in his word, to grow in knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 15 and 16, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. A lot of times our schedules are filled with good things, but not the best things. And he says, don't just make good use of the time. You seek how to make the best use of your time. You seek out how you're going to do something that's going to matter when eternity comes. You seek out things that are going to affect other people in a way that's going to last. Because so many times we look at the things that we spend a lot of time and investment and energy in, and how does it end? A lot of times it's like, okay, well, there's just another, you know, brick in the wall. There's just another thing that it's going to end. It's going to run out. And there are some of those things that are necessary. I understand that. I'm not saying you just drop everything. But what are the best ways that we can be sacrificing our time for the Lord? Are we giving him the leftovers? At the end of the day, when we're already exhausted and we don't have anything left to give, or are we really making sure that we're not offering to God something that costs us nothing, and we're giving to him the thing that's really costly? I want us to think this morning also about how this manifests itself in our attire, in the way that we choose to dress as children of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're entering, of course, a time of year where this is going to be difficult. And it's going to be a sacrifice that we have to make if we want to serve the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and beginning in verse 8. This is one of those important things that Paul gives to Timothy to deliver to the places where he's preaching. He begins this way in verse 8. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire, but what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. I want to spend just a minute this morning for us to think about what this looks like and why this is so important in the life of a Christian. Because we live in the midst of a culture, in the midst of a society, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And many times we feel like, well, as long as I'm not, you know, at the forefront of that whole thing, as long as I'm not with Miley Cyrus and that crowd, you know, then I'm doing okay. But we've really got to look at what the Lord desires of his people. Because it's so easy to compromise in this area, to be conformed to the world little by little instead of being transformed, to offer God a little bit but to not really sacrifice to him, and when those things are hard. And it is hard to dress in a way that the Lord is pleased with, and that's going to be helpful to one another. One of the reasons this is so important is simply because of the way that the Lord has made us and the way that the Lord has created men and women. And because this is a real struggle for real Christians who are trying to do right and aren't necessarily trying to just, oh, I'm just going to give up and just go with whatever the world says. This is still a real problem in the church. And it's a problem for young women who are trying to be godly but don't necessarily realize that the way that they dress is provocative to young Christian men who are trying to do good and aren't trying to look. But the way that God has created men, they're very visual. It's very easy for them to think in certain ways when they see certain things that should only be reserved for marriage. There's a place for that. There's a time for that. And it's good and it's right in its proper context. But Satan is doing everything that he can, and in many ways he is winning in a lot of churches and in the world by getting people to compromise, because this is what's cute. This is what's fashionable. This is what's popular. And he's getting young men to say, well, this is just what everyone else is doing, and I mean, it's so prevalent, how can I possibly keep myself? I mean, you can't even like, drive around. You just gotta like kind of wear blinders even as you're driving down the road, because the billboards, I mean, even billboard for a gym or whatever else, it's so difficult sometimes to keep your mind in the right place. God didn't say it was going to be easy. We have to offer a living sacrifice. Young ladies, those of you who go to the store and you're trying to shop for clothes, and it's hard. to find something that's not going to be too tight, that's not going to be too revealing, that's not going to be, just draw attention to certain parts of your body that are going to be provocative to anyone who looks at you, whether they intend well or not. It's hard to do that, but it is so, so worth it. I want to say also to those of you who are fighting that battle and who are taking a lot of pains to do your best, thank you. Thank you so much. I think I can speak for the men of the group, for those who are going through a lot of trouble, to dress modestly. Thank you. I don't think that gets said enough because there are those who are doing that. But we really need to examine ourselves as we think about this. We really need to look at our hearts and say, am I dressing modestly? Look at the way it describes it in the verse here. It says, the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. Your translation may have different words there, but it's all this idea of something that is appropriate. There is a way to dress that is appropriate, that's beautiful, but is still not provoking. And it says, not in one way, but also, but to do it in a certain way. Not with these external things, braided hair, gold, pearls, costly attire. And of course, probably in this time, maybe the more common form of immodesty was to overdo it. Was instead of not wearing not enough clothing, was to wear too much clothing, and you're just trying to draw attention to yourself in some way. Look how much money I have, or look how good my figure is, or whatever that may be. But the focus is yourself. It says that, no. But in verse 10, he says, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, who profess godliness. That's what they're trying to get people to see about them. I'm a godly person. So notice that about me, not necessarily what I'm wearing or the way in which I present myself. And the way that we do that is with good works. And this is not just, I want to say, a women's issue, but also a men's issue. Many times men are in other ways. You can back up to verse 8, we're more tempted to maybe to anger or quarreling and using that to kind of assert ourselves, which is really, if you think about it, an immodest behavior. Is men trying to get people to look at me, look how strong I am, look at how much better I am than that guy or that guy. And we kind of, it comes out in a different way maybe, sometimes for guys, though, I will say also with clothing. Many times guys are dressing to try to get the wrong kind of attention. But we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. And think not in terms of, well, what's going to make me more socially acceptable? What's going to make me look better in the sight of everybody else? But think about what is going to help my brothers and my sisters in Christ. When we have that kind of mindset of, you know what? This body of mine is not my own. It's been bought with a price. I'm not allowed to just do whatever I want to with my body. The opposite message is, of course, being preached over and over and over and over again. It's your body. You do what you want to with it. No, it's not. You've been bought with a price, and you put that body on the altar. And it's a living sacrifice. And we've got to show that in the way that we live, in the way that we speak, in the way that we think, the way we use our time. And I want to encourage you. We could go into more specifics about this that I think would be helpful. But if you have questions about this, we talked last week about openness and about the importance of communicating with one another, because I really think that there are many people who just don't realize that what they're doing is creating a problem for other people. We have to be willing to communicate, and there are helpful ways to do that. There are helpful ways if you think you might be dressing immodestly, or you just want to know. Maybe you don't think you are, but just ask someone. Ask your parents. Ask, maybe an older lady in the congregation or whatever. But find some way to get some helpful feedback. We need to be able to be open with one another. If it is creating a problem, we need to know the problem's there, so that we can help one another and build one another up. Again, Satan can just get us in all kinds of trouble where we're hurting each other if we're not willing to be open about what is what is ailing us and what is difficult for us. But really, I think a lot of the ways in which we offer our body come back to this point. And that is that we need to change how we think. When he said, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? The renewing of your mind. How we speak, how we spend our time, how we choose to dress, and the thoughts that go through our head, it all comes back to where things start up here. And the way that we think is tremendously affected by what we listen to, by what we watch, by the people that we allow ourselves to associate with and spend time around. And sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm just not going to be affected by all those things. I can be in the world, but not really worry about that. No, there's a reason that the Lord has said, you got to renew that mind, because that Satan is constantly like that dripping water. He's trying to get that to conform, 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 conform. And sometimes he gets other Christians to conform, and then it's even easier for us to conform because, well, these other Christians are doing it this way. But no, we keep coming back to the Word. We've got to be transformed by that renewing of our mind. What do we allow on our TV sets? What do we allow on our computer screens? What do we allow on our iPods and our other MP3 players? What do we allow in our reading? What do we allow in the things that we allow ourselves to look at, even as we're going down the street, whether people are passing by or whether there's those billboards or whatever else? Are we being conformed or are we being transformed? And kind of on the flip side of the token, as we've talked about modesty a little bit this morning, is that, I know perhaps for guys, this is the struggle. And like with Cain, we have a choice. Sin is constantly crouching at the door. And we have to rule over it. We can control our thoughts. We can control our minds. We can be pure for the Lord. But we have to constantly make that sacrifice because, yes, it's hard. But we have to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. What is it for you? I've heard it said before that the trouble with a living sacrifice is that it keeps wanting to crawl off the altar. Sometimes we start well and we're offering something good to the Lord, but it's hard, it's painful to keep that thing on the altar. And we do well for a while and then we fall back in. We do well for a while, we fall. We have to keep offering that sacrifice to the Lord over and over again. Ask yourself this morning, what way can I better offer my body as a living sacrifice to God? Because that is what he expects from us. Our mind, our body, our time, our speech, our dress. May it all be to the glory of the Lord. If that's our focus, our decisions become a lot easier. It's when we allow the world to cloud our thinking that, oh, I really want this thing over here. Everybody else is doing this thing over here. We've got to clear the input that we're putting in our minds. Continually come back to God's Word. Don't live on bread alone. Live on every word that proceeds from God's mouth. I hope we've been encouraged to that this morning. You have the opportunity right now to change your life. And for you, that might be you've never become a Christian. You might be here and you've been thinking about becoming a Christian. And I want you to see clearly what the Lord expects of us, because it's not just a joining some club. Yeah, sign me up for that. You are entering into a covenant relationship. You are saying, I want to give my body up for the Lord. And that's going to be hard. But it's going to be the best possible thing that you can do with your body, with your life. Because the Lord made you, and the Lord knows what's best for you. And if you haven't, you need to repent of the sin in your life. You need to be buried with Christ in baptism and be renewed, raised to walk in that newness of life. And by the same token, you might be a Christian and you might realize, man, I'm not on that altar today. I really started to put the Lord on that altar, and I've been worshiping other things, and I need to make that right, maybe in a public way, or maybe I just need some encouragement to do that. I've been really struggling. If there's any way that we can help you to offer a better sacrifice to God this morning, will you come to the front while we stand and sing this song?